Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your calls. But thank you for listening to We Hold These Truths on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.
We Hold These Truths, hosted by Karen Testament, founder of First Principles New Hampshire, an organization that promotes those truths that are self-evident, which the state and the nation were founded upon. The show takes a look at the latest news and developments throughout the state of New Hampshire from a conservative women's viewpoint. Whether it's family, economic, or current news, We Hold These Truths will cover it all. Join the show, give us a piece of your mind, and voice your input by calling 816-0019. It's We Hold These Truths with Karen Testament.
Good morning, this is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths. This morning we were going to talk about some of the things that are going on within our state as far as it will affect our budget. Our illustrious Governor Maggie Hassan has decided that she would present a budget to the people of, or to the legislature for approval. And in that budget, it's amazing to me, she wants to include gambling. Now, if you want to include gambling, that's fine. Let's not talk. Let's include it as a separate situation where we have an opportunity for the public to come in and weigh in on it and look at all of the pros and cons of gambling, and then let the legislature decide and vote on it as a separate issue. But don't include it in a budget and say that you're going to come up with this money that is going to it's not even past the legislature, first of all. It's $80 million. I don't know where she's going to get the $80 million to make sure that they get set up in the first place. And to all you libertarians out there, I know that you think that it's up to the individual to decide that they want to have gambling or not, or go to the gambling establishments or not. That's very, very true. But remember, you're the ones that are always talking about limited government. And if we have a gambling expansion in this state, that means that we grow the bureaucracy that is going to oversee the implementation of it and make sure that there are people who, that the people and the establishments are following all of the rules and the laws. So it will grow the gambling, grow government to a larger extent and grow our budget as well, what we are spending. What if the administration was really serious about attacking the budget in this state, they would look at the unintended consequences of the promises that have already been made in the way of unfunded liabilities, such as our pension system, or they would look at some of the unconstitutional things that we are involved in. Energy comes to mind. There are so many different areas where we can be looking at. Education is another one that really should be more at the local level, and the larger government entities should not be there. I mean, look at the size of the Department of Education in the state of New Hampshire. It is monstrous. It is the second largest expenditure that we make in this state. And in reality, their responsibility is really to collect numbers and make sure that we're meeting measurable outcomes. But I don't know if you've ever been down to the Department of Education. It's very difficult to get any information out of them. So if we're serious about cutting our budget, we really need to look at what we're spending money on. Another area that comes to mind also is this bill on increasing gas prices with a gas tax. And the idea is that it's going to be targeted towards the roads. Well, the tolls and the gas tax is already in our legislature or in our laws already say that we have to target that money towards the spending on roads and taxes. So it's amazing to me what comes up in the state legislature. I just don't understand it. Another thing that is coming up and is really something that I'm very, very disappointed in the state house at this point. Yesterday, they voted to repeal HB 370, which is the scholarship tax credit program that was set up by the legislature in the last session. It hasn't even it took effect January 1st. We haven't even seen whether or not it's going to work, and yet the legislature wants to hurry up and turn it around and say no to those poor families, more than 270 of which have already made application for those scholarships. There's been a number of businesses around the state who have been trying to take advantage of this tax credit. And in reality, there's no state money that is impacted by this. It is a credit to the businesses for making that donation to a scholarship organization. And then that scholarship organization is responsible for going out and finding families who meet an income level that they're supposed to make. And when they hit that income, I think it's three times the poverty level, then they qualify for the scholarship. And those scholarships are supposed to come out at about a 2,000 to 500 average. That means that not everybody's going to get that $2,500, but the average scholarship will be, that amount will be actually credited. So we'll have to see where that goes. I'm hoping that the Senate will stop this silliness and will allow the at-risk, or not necessarily at-risk, but those people who would not normally have the opportunity to go to these private schools or even another public school out of their district, or homeschoolers, that these people would be allowed that opportunity to maybe make something happen that wouldn't be allowed to them or afforded to them otherwise. I'm so happy to see my guest walk in the door. Lauren Spivak has been a rather unusual person. He's written this really cool book, which is a parody on Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat, but it's called I Am a Democrat.
It's called The New Democrat, and it's a parody history of the Obama administration.
Okay,
it's
good.
It's basically the 4 years of Obama so far turned into a Dr. Seuss story.
Well, it was very cleverly written, and we've gotten a lot of laughs out of it, and I know many people who have actually seen it have said, you know, I want a copy. So
okay, well, great. That's always good to hear.
Now, Lauren,
warms an author's heart.
Right. Lauren, are you from New Hampshire?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay.
You're a cousin to the South.
Okay. You have a very special place in your heart for free market principles.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I go by the nickname the Free Market Warrior.
Yes. And you've been in industry, or you've been in the workplace,
I have, yes.
And you've come along and said, there's something wrong, and I need to get people educated about what really economics is all about. And so you have a program that you present to groups called?
Sure. Well, it's called Economic Literacy. And I've been doing this for about 3 years now. It's been my major occupation for 3 years now when I'm not making fun of the Obama administration with cartoon books. And it's really aimed at helping regular folks, particularly people who are involved in the Republican Party or the Tea Party movement, or just people who want to get economic sanity back into American life. And it's designed to give them the tools to help them do that. I'm a big believer in ideas. And I think when people understand what a free market is, how it works, and what we're doing wrong, it becomes pretty obvious how we need to change course. And I think getting those ideas out there are how you change history.
So are you going to schools? Are you going to is it that you're finding your audience for these seminars?
It's mostly groups. It's mostly Republican groups and Tea Party groups and sometimes even Libertarian groups, Christian groups sometimes. It's not students. It's mostly middle-aged people I talk to because that's who shows up for these things. I'm happy to. Sometimes people bring their kids, which I'm happy to see. And I've done this so far, and I think I'm up to 17 states, about 200 groups in those 17 states. And we spend two nights and learn the basics of economics. And very quickly, you realize almost everything, really, almost everything that comes out of Washington from Democrats and Republicans is patent nonsense economically. I mean, it's quackery.
So let's define some of those terms. What is quackery to you?
Well, quackery is saying that if we don't keep borrowing money, if we don't extend the debt limit, that'll damage the country's credit. Okay, that we have good credit if we keep borrowing more and more money, but if we stop borrowing more money, that'll damage our credit. Okay, that's quackery. That's like a doctor telling you to bleed yourself to cure your cough. It's quackery to say that government spending expands the economy. It actually contracts the economy. We have a smaller every dollar that the federal government spends makes us, to a certain extent, it depends what the dollar is going to, but to some extent, it makes us poorer. Every single one. Okay? Even things are things which you and I would probably agree that the government actually needs to do. And those expenditures also make us poorer. But we'd say, you know, well, we need to defend the country. We can't be invaded by a foreign enemy, and so we need to have some protection against that invasion. And I would agree with you on that. But in doing that, it's making us poorer. Just as having a burglar alarm in your house, makes you poorer. You could have spent that money on something else, but you decide you want the protection. So that trade-off is fine. But there's this idea that we're more prosperous because we're spending this money, and it's absolute nonsense because it's just the opposite. It makes us poorer because it's taking resources that could be used for productivity, and it's productivity. I'm giving away the end here. It's productivity that makes us richer, not spending money. And you're taking money that could be spent on productivity and spending it on non-productivity. And what people will say is, well, but we'll be able to create jobs. But that's also economic nonsense because we don't need jobs. We need things. Jobs are only useful to the extent that they produce something. And very few government jobs produce anything.
Okay. I will agree with you that there. Absolutely. The government jobs are the ones that are taking your tax dollar and my tax dollar to pay for them to be in existence. So very definitely. Lauren, we have to take a short break. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold the...
On New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.